this content factory we call the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And if you don't have a sense of excitement about this, I don't know what you're here for.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I can't tell you enough how much I love your show.
With guest hosts Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison.
Boom.
Live.
Boom.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Rich Eisen brand is really hot. Right?
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
And now, sitting in for Rich.
We're ready for any challenge.
Here's Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison.
Welcome back to the show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. Hour three, the show rolls on. We appreciate you spending some time of your day. Breaking news, of course, today. Carson Wentz going to the Indianapolis Colts. A deal involving a bunch of picks. No actual people coming back yet. Just the idea of people, Kirk. Which I think makes some Philadelphia Eagles fans a little nervous today. But have to be excited they are turning the page on the Carson Wentz era. Despite the fact it got him a Super Bowl. I mean, just a weird, awkward situation the entire time for Carson Wentz in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's weird because we always knew that the Indianapolis Colts was probably the best situation for Carson Wentz. So when the deal was finally made, we're like, all right, finally. And now there's reports out now that the Bears never made an offer for Carson Wentz, which we thought they were the other suitor for Carson Wentz's services or to be shipped away from Philadelphia. They're saying now, hey, we never made an offer. And so I think that's ultimately what happened, was that Philadelphia was waiting, and they were waiting, and they were waiting, and nobody was biting at that apple. Like, nah, we okay. We're good with what we got right now. And so Indianapolis found a way to get it done, and they got it done for far less compensation, right? I think Philadelphia is looking right now, like you mentioned, that this is the best deal that we're going to get. They weren't going to get that Detroit Lions, Los Angeles Rams deal, right, where you get a player in return, you got multiple first-round picks, you're going to have an extra, I believe, a third-round pick for currently for this season. They got far less than that.
But it's not about what they got back. They got back getting out of the contract. That's the win. That's who they traded for. They traded for moving off the deal.
Absolutely. But when you grade that deal, they lost. Philadelphia lost, man. That's it. Like, at least the Rams can say, hey, we gave up this, but in return, we did get an upgrade at the position. Whereas Philadelphia is giving up a player, and all they're getting is some assets. And as I was reading a tweet earlier, Ben, can you see this? Here we go. From 2009 to 2016, all first-round quarterbacks, and this is what Field Yates on Twitter tweeted out, and I kind of did my little background research, and this is true. From 2009 to 2016, there is not one first-round quarterback still on the same team that drafted them. First-round quarterback that is drafted. So from 2009 to 2016, because obviously the quarterbacks after that are still under some rookie deals and things like that, that they are not with the original team that drafted them. That goes to show you how much when we get into this draft class coming up and we're talking about Trevor Lawrence and we're talking about Justin Fields and we're talking about Zach Wilson from BYU and Trey Lance of North Dakota State and Mac Jones of Alabama, that you can draft them all in the first round, but the numbers are showing how difficult it is to get that position right, especially in round number one, because I got some Cowboy fans over here saying, hey, we got it right. We got it right. Even though they had to wait to the fourth round to get Dak Prescott.
Yeah, but what have they won since then? So, yes, look, it's an inexact science because right. While it's such a challenge to obviously get that guy, since Deshaun Watson has been drafted, we've seen Lamar Jackson enter the NFL. Yep. We've seen Josh Allen. We've seen Baker Mayfield. You've seen Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Now you're going to see Trevor Lawrence. Like, so there are guys that come along.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll see if Carson Wentz can actually turn into that guy in stop number two. We find out today he's heading to Indianapolis.
But before you move on, you mentioned Deshaun Watson. Could he still be on the move too? Could he be the next quarterback?
I hope so, man. I don't want to see that situation play out because it'll just get ugly down in Houston. All right, we switch gears now to talk a little NBA action because we got a doubleheader tonight on TNT. Turner Sports NBA host and reporter Jared Greenberg joins the show after finding some difficulties connecting with us, but we're able to do it here. The inmates are running the asylum now that Rich is away. So we apologize for that, Jared. But what's up, man? Glad to have you on the show.
Why does Rich take the normal numbers with him when he's on vacation? And, like, you guys have to have new numbers when you guys are here.
I don't know. Whatever Rich is doing, he's got it figured out because he's on vacation and we're all here working. So, hey, you know, tonight we got a doubleheader. We've got, of course, Toronto and Milwaukee, but the game everybody has circled on their calendar, of course, is Brooklyn and Los Angeles. A little bit of the shine's taken off it with the injury. However, as a basketball fan, I'm just as intrigued because now we get to see what LeBron is going to have to do with AD out for the foreseeable future. So what are you hoping just as a fan and, you know, somebody who loves hoops like we all do, Jared, to sort of take away from this game, if anything, tonight?
Yeah, no AD and no KD, but the headline still has to be LeBron facing Kyrie for the first time since Kyrie said that the first time in his career he's had somebody that's the most clutch player that he's ever played with is KD, right? So, like, how does LeBron take that out on the guy he used to call the kid when they were back in Cleveland? How does he take that out on him? That'll be fun tonight, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I just want to see what walking stick Kyrie brings out to Los Angeles. I'm such a fan. I love the Gandalf look.
But I also feel like that's like a Jordan meme too, though, right? Like, you just say, like, the – and I took that personally. You could put that under, like, LeBron. Like, I took that personally that Kyrie said, you know, whatever.
Oh, you're going to see those tonight. I can promise you that. Where do you think Kyrie got the walking stick from?
Ooh.
Well, they were in Arizona, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, there's a great golf course called Talking Stick out in Phoenix area.
I played Talking Stick, yeah.
Which is a great one. Great track. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the look, though. Jared Greenberg joining the show, Turner Sports, of course, NBA host and reporter. You can see Jared on NBA TV's Crunch Time, the live look and show taking you around the league on Wednesdays and Fridays. A big win last night for the Warriors, getting it done in overtime, surprising the Miami Heat. I lost a dollar on the bet. What do you take away from the season that Steph is having?
That why did we forget about him? Why did we... Why is our recency bias so recent that we forget that just a couple of years ago he was averaging 30 points and becoming the first ever unanimous MVP in NBA history? Like, I always say this, Ben, about Steph. By simply calling him the greatest shooter of all time, we don't get the full grasp of how great he is. I agree, he is the greatest shooter of all time, but he is so much more than that. He's a great playmaker. The way he moves without the basketball, which most stars are unwilling to do, keeps the defense on its heels and in panic mode all game. He's such a willing passer. He's such a team-first guy. And, yes, he's played on great teams. But his style of leadership and his willingness to let go of ego has allowed him and the Warriors to be great. And absolutely, it's going to be a dogfight for this year's MVP, but he needs to be in the mix of that conversation.
Yeah, Jared, I totally agree. And I think it kind of goes back to the beginning of the season when, remember, Dame Lillard, you know, had his comments about Steph, and then Steph went out there and kind of lit him up a couple times, you know, with you know, shooting performances and winning games. And so it's more of the criticism of Steph. Can he do it without the superstars around? He's showing that he can do that. So it's more of Steph proving, hey, this is who I am. This is what you're always going to get. Don't forget about me. But then I kind of want to pivot a little bit back to the Thursday night game, because I'm looking at this Nets team and I'm trying to figure out what can they prove tonight without KD? Because I saw the other night that they beat a Phoenix team without KD, without Kyrie. And it's like, oh, James Harden, he can not only be a facilitator, which, you know, he's doing great and being the point guard of the team, but yet, oh, if you need him to score, he's still one of the best scorers in the NBA. So I'm trying to figure out tonight, what more can the Brooklyn Nets show me? What can they teach me that I haven't seen from them this season?
Well, I think it's just learning about, you know, hopefully Kyrie plays and it's Kyrie and Harden playing together and trying to get a feel for one another. And it's having that sense of urgency that on key possessions, we do need to D up and kind of doing what the Clippers didn't do last year by not just coasting and saying, we're going to flip a switch once we get to the playoffs. You got to have that sense of urgency to learn processes now which you'll be able to take over to the playoffs, which obviously it'll change a little more when Durant's in the lineup, because I hope people recognize, like, as great as Harden and Kyrie can be, and they are, I'm not trying to take anything away from them, like, it's not even close. Their best player is Kevin Durant. And if Kevin Durant's not getting the most shots, and if Kevin Durant's not getting the ball in clutch moments, well, then that's a failure on all levels for the Nets, because he is by far their best player on a team full of great players. And I would just say about the other night in Phoenix when they came back and Harden hits the shot, that's a bit of a false sense of reality, a bit of fool's gold, because we've seen Harden do that in the regular season over and over and over again. He can do that again tonight, possibly. But that doesn't translate to postseason success for James Harden. We've seen it for several years now. It's having that full team effort where understanding your role and that Kevin Durant is the go-to guy ultimately when he gets back healthy, that will make this team a dangerous postseason team.
Jared Greenberg joins the show, Turner Sports NBA host. You can check Jared out, of course, on Wednesdays and Fridays, NBA TV's Crunch Time. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Something I've really loved, Jared, about the opportunity to work with NBA TV and Turner Sports, and you know this better than anybody, is that it's really a Turner family. And the whole vibe down there at the studios in Atlanta, when you're broadcasting the games, whether it's on NBA TV or the Inside the NBA crew, there's kind of a common area where everybody hangs out, watches the games. And for guys like you and I, who sadly were never able to get all the way to the NBA, it's the closest we'll get to being in the locker room and hanging with these guys. I know you're still in awe of the men and women you work alongside, but walk us through the process it took throughout your career to really feel comfortable sharing your opinions, mixing it up, challenging the men and women that you'd admired since you were a kid. I mean, the fact that Charles Barkley calls you half man, half makeup has to make the 12-year-old Jared Greenberg proud.
Well, it makes the 37-year-old Jared Greenberg proud, too. No, it is great. Ben, you know, it actually points out, you know, kind of a void that's in my gut right now, because we don't have those moments anymore, because even though we're still going into the studio, we are practicing social distancing, and there's not that hangout that we used to have, so we missed that this season. But I think the challenge, Ben, and I'm curious, you know, from your time when at Turner, if you felt this as well, like, it's almost keeping yourself in check not to get too comfortable, because they'll let you. It's so welcoming, it's so warm. You know, I remember the first day I got hired and I met Charles, he's like, "Welcome to the family." And I thought he was just like saying that to be cliche, but then I realized, as you're talking about, it's true. Like, everybody there really does look out for one another, and we all joke and kid. Once you're there for a couple of days, you know, you get made fun of, which is, you know that they like you in that instance. So I think that the key is not to overstep your grounds, and once you get comfortable, not to get too comfortable, and just have fun. I think you know, we too often, and Kirk, you know, I'm sure you've seen this in your past, that, like, people forget that professional athletes are human beings. Mm-hmm. And we put them on such a pedestal and such a superhero level that we forget, like, stuff's going on at home that's bothering people that you want to ask about, you want to talk about. You know, guys are sports fans too. Girls are sports fans too. You know, you just want to interact and be friends. And that's the coolest thing about this is, you know, being able to pick up a phone and call or text these people that I've worked with, who a lot of people idolize, and I can just now call a friend.
You know, Jared, tonight also some big news, right? And I remember growing up as a kid, you couldn't wait for the All-Star team to be selected, right? You were getting excited, like, "Oh, we can't wait to see the East versus the West." I know tonight we'll know the NBA starters for the All-Star game. Yeah. Is it losing a little bit of its luster because of some of the outspoken comments by players maybe not wanting to be in the All-Star game this year? How do you think it'll be received tonight with some of the players, you know, getting that nod as an All-Star?
I think a lot of that is a bit overblown. I think we forget that the NBA cannot hold an All-Star game unless it's collectively bargained with its players association and agreed upon by its players association. So while I respect these guys wanting a week off, and I also understand that we're still living in a global pandemic and health and safety is at the forefront, I also think that these guys are represented by a union in which LeBron James is a vice president of that agreed to these terms. So to be upset about it after the fact is a little bit two-faced, to be honest with you. And listen, I get that we're coming off of a weird season where we were in a bubble and there was only essentially a couple months off for guys instead of several months off. And for the guys who went deep into the playoffs, it's taxing to ask them to go
playing an exhibition, but it's that exhibition that is such a huge revenue generator, even without a crowd, that helps pay the salaries of not just the players, but people that work in within organizations. And organizations have been laying off or furloughing employees because they can't afford to keep them on salary. It's events like this that keeps the league going. And if anybody has a problem with the All-Star game being played, well, then you should also have a problem with any game that was played last night or tonight in the NBA, because this is a business. And as long as it's done with health and safety in mind and everybody feels protected, which I feel the NBA is going to do in this bubble, in the mini bubble of the All-Star weekend, then you should be okay with it being played just as much as you'll be okay with Lakers-Nets being played tonight, because ultimately the All-Star game is going to create more viewers and it's going to create more revenue for a league that plays that pays more than billion-dollar owners and more than million-dollar basketball players.
Turner Sports NBA host and reporter Jared Greenberg joins the show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. You can catch Jared, of course, on NBA TV's Crunch Time on Wednesdays and Fridays. And, you know, obviously the All-Star game is a huge moment in the culture of basketball, and TNT will broadcast the game this year and has always put on great All-Star activities over the years. Somebody who enjoyed All-Star weekend last year in Chicago is coming up next on the show, Jared, and that's your buddy Quentin Richardson. And
whoa,
I'd love to see, I love seeing one half of the knuckleheads transition into this phase of his life as a broadcaster and a podcaster and doing a great job covering the NBA and doing the podcast with Darius Miles. And even a guy like Kirk as well, who's now probably been in the media as long as he was in the NFL or getting close.
Yeah, this is my eighth year, yes.
It's really right, cool to see you transition into this phase in your life as well. Jared, you've worked with Hall of Fame icons, and then you've worked with rotational players who have found a voice in media in the second act. What do you think, as a guy in your position who works with so many athletes as correspondent, what do you think makes for a great broadcaster as a former player?
I think there's a couple of key things that I like to talk to former players or players as they're kind of transitioning into the media. Is number one, remember that you're a fan of the sport. Yeah. And with that, you know, don't just do it for the paycheck, because honestly, you know, it's nothing like a professional athlete's paycheck, although, you know, I don't think a lot of us are going to complain about the compensation we get. But with that, it's still pay attention to the sport. Don't just think because you played the sport for X amount of years professionally or your entire life growing up that you can just ignore what's happening. I think one of the biggest criticisms that current players have and fans have is that they can spot a fraud. They can smell a fraud when they're watching on TV or listening to a podcast. If the guy hasn't watched games or isn't listening to other podcasts or isn't reading articles every once in a while or isn't making phone calls to check in on things, you don't have to be like this investigative reporter, but just show that you care and you owe that to the fan. Because, you know, Ben, when I do a show, my priority that I think about is, as a huge hoop head, what do I want to hear if I was on the couch drinking a beer? So I want to deliver that when I'm in studio. And I think that former players owe it to their peers and to the viewers out there and listeners to say, all right, I'm gonna dedicate my time and do a little homework and watch games and read articles and call some people. And remember that the reason why I'm getting into this is because I'm as much of a fan of this sport as anyone else. And then the last thing is, everyone loves that when people share insight from their playing days. There's nothing like hearing a great locker room story or a story on a bus or a plane and really taking us fans, the dorks like me who have never played professional sports, inside that life to kind of feel like we're walking in your shoes for a few minutes.
Yeah, I'm hearing that, and I love all of that, Jason, because I've always said
right,
that, you know, because I have a producer named Jason Greenberg, but yeah, Jared Greenberg. But Jared, I want to throw this out there too, is that the hardest part, I think, for me was trying to be critical of guys who you knew and you know. And that's always difficult because some see it as hate, some see it like, oh, what does he know? But at the same time, I'm trying to do my job. And so it's always easier for me to talk about the NBA sometimes. People are like, but you never played in the NBA. I said, I never played, but I watch and I look.
Right.
And so for me to say that what the hell is wrong with Giannis Antetokounmpo right now, who's the reigning two-time MVP, you're not allowed to go on a four-game losing streak, Jared. You're not. Right. This is like, what's going on in Milwaukee right now? And tonight, could I see them kind of change the tide and hopefully winning this game after losing to Toronto the other night?
Yeah, well, I think you have every right to be fair and to be critical. I think as long as you don't do it by taking personal shots at people, you know, as we try not to do, and you don't make it personal, you know, it's part of your job, like you said. And it seemed like Milwaukee, you're right. They do have some injuries. They've been, you know, had Drew Holiday out for a bit, which is a bit of a problem. But I also wonder if what's wrong with Milwaukee now is kind of the opposite of what was right with them last year, in that they were built to be a regular season team, which had shortcomings that were seen glaring errors in the playoffs. If now it's the opposite, where they're not as good in the regular season, but some of the things that they can do well will be highlighted in the playoffs. And that we see that in basketball, where teams can be great for 82 games, but then because of the way the playoffs are played with every other day, with having scouting reports, being players locked in, coaching staffs being better, the game is officiated better, you either fail or you're able to thrive in those circumstances. And I wonder if Milwaukee will be better in that situation. But you're right. Milwaukee does have to be held accountable for a four-game losing streak. That shouldn't happen for a team like this.
Milwaukee taking on Toronto in the first of the doubleheader, and then it's Nets and Lakers. Jared Greenberg from NBA TV, we appreciate you being on the show, and I'm sure you appreciate being out of the bubble in Orlando, too. I know you were down there for what seemed like forever. So it's great to have you, man. Thanks for taking some time.
Guys, it was great speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jared.
Jared Greenberg joining the show. We keep it rolling, talking basketball, because coming up next, Pride of Whitney Young High School, Chicago's own former NBA three-point champion, one half of the Knuckleheads, Quentin Richardson, joins the show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison hanging out here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back, and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store, and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That was Jared Greenberg from NBA TV, Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Jared talking about All-Star Weekend going down in Atlanta this year. Obviously, during a global pandemic, a lot of issues around the All-Star game.
Is it really an All-Star weekend, Ben?
I guess it's not a weekend. I guess that's just what I refer to always. You know, it's just the All-Star game. It's going to be the All-Star 12 hours.
All-Star day
is what it is. But it had us reminiscing about All-Star weekends and you know, what those used to be like in the before times, if you will. I remember when the 50 Cent album Get Rich or Die Trying came out, and it was in Atlanta All-Star Weekend. I was down there for that, and just you could feel the presence of that album all weekend long, wherever you went.
Well,
that was,
you got to remember, it was always for ex-NFL players or current NFL players. NBA All-Star Weekend was our one big event that we can go to because it was in the off season. So it was always a nice place for players to congregate and be a part of the action, if I would say.
Somebody who knows a thing or two about All-Star Weekend. He won a three-point contest at an All-Star Weekend. And last year he got to do his podcast, The Knuckleheads, from his hometown in Chicago. Yeah. It's the man, the myth, the legend, the pride of Whitney Young, who joins us right now, Quentin Richardson, on the show. Great to have you, Q. When was your first All-Star Weekend?
Appreciate it, guys. My first All-Star Weekend was 2001.
And you must have just been a kid in a candy store. I mean, you're somebody who grew up in Chicago in the Jordan era. You're now sponsored by Jordan. You're in the league. What can you tell me about the All-Star Weekend from a player's point of view that maybe is a little different from how a super fan like me experiences All-Star Weekend?
Yo. It was lit. I'm 20 or 19, and D-Miles was 19 or 18. We were our first one was in D.C. It was in D.C. that year. And, you know what I'm saying, you got to understand, me and D-Miles, we out there single, trying to get to it. And they put us on the floor with all of the big boys. We was literally on the floor with, like, we just talked about this when we had Steve Francis on the show. We was on the same floor as Steve Francis, AI, KG, Shaq. Like, man, it was everybody on our floor. And they was looking at us like, obviously, we the young boys. We all over the place. We had it jumping up there. Everybody was hanging out. It was a real good time, man. That was, for me to say that was that's what the NBA was about, I was like, yeah, this is going to be fun.
But, Q, can you remember having that camcorder? Like, having the camcorder to record these images? Like, now we can use a cell phone, but back then we had to use the camcorder, right, to sit down and record all of the action. I don't know if you still got the footage or not, but just kind of remembering, taking me back to that time to remember those moments, even kind of the dress that you wore, I mean, like the clothing style that you had going.
I mean, the one thing I can remember for a fact from either that year, it was either that year or the next year in Philly. And I can remember having my camcorder and stuff and watching BD try and do a for real blindfolded dunk. Baron Davis, that's what, you know, I had already knew that D. Brown and Cesc Ceballos them could see. But this was, if anybody had any doubt, this confirmed it when you saw Baron Davis really try and do a blindfold dunk and almost kill himself. And it, I remember I saw a clip from that not too long ago on social media, and me and Katino Mobley was on the floor just cracking up. Like, I can't believe he just really tried that.
Quentin Richardson joins the show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison hanging out for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Quentin does an amazing job with Darius Miles for the Knuckleheads podcast. They sit down with current players, former players, and really chop it up and tell some great stories. We've been talking a little bit today, Quentin, about the idea of transitioning into life after you play your sport and taking on new challenges and reinventing yourself. At what point did you start to feel really comfortable with the podcast, and what are you enjoying about doing it so much right now, a couple seasons in?
Man, I would say with the podcast, I got comfortable probably after the first season. You know, season one, I feel like that whole season was kind of like a pilot for me and D. We had to, you know, kind of figure out and navigate this whole new thing that we were doing. And, you know, we obviously have chemistry with each other just naturally, but we had to find our chemistry with that, with the, you know, bouncing off each other and letting each other go and not cutting each other off and do all those things. So I would say after season one, I felt like I had a real good feel for it. And I mean, the thing that I enjoy the most, man, is like every time, you know, we sitting there like, yeah, we the host or whatever, and we a podcast host and all that, but like, we are 100% fans. I don't know if it comes across like that, but we are always, whoever we talking to, we are huge fans of them and their game and possibly other things that they do in their life, but we are definitely fans of their game, and that's why they're there.
You know, Q, I always say that when you give guys that opportunity to come out and speak about the game, probably weren't necessarily the biggest media personalities. But it seems like when they get into that environment and being a part of your show or other podcasts with guys who they trust, you start to hear stories that you never knew about. Like, I guess, I mean, obviously PG for this program, but a story that you may have heard from guys joining the podcast that you say, you know what, wow, I never knew that. That is something that's kind of stuck with you.
Well, I mean, just the other day, like this being a love this, we had a Michigan man on. We just dropped C Webb. Well, yesterday. We just dropped his yesterday. So we on with him talking. And I never knew that he taught a course at Wake Forest University. Like, this is obviously after basketball, wow. But he taught a course, and now he's going to be a professor at Morehouse for courses about protesting and sports and stuff like that. So it was like, I feel like every single episode, no matter who it's been, every single episode I've found, there's always a moment where like, wow, I never knew that.
Man, if Chris Webber was my college professor, I might have actually gotten a degree.
I'm telling you, like, see, Webb doing it big over there.
Quentin Richardson joins the show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison hanging out for Rich Eisen, a fellow Michigan man as well. Now, Q, something you said that I love about you is that you're still a fan. You've always been a fan. You grew up in Chicago in the Michael Jordan heyday. And, Kirk, I always joke with Q because – I equate his love of MJ to like a Harry Potter fan who dresses up on the night the movie comes out, or a diehard fan who goes to Comic-Con like in the Captain America costume. Like, that's Quentin's love of Michael Jordan. What did you do to celebrate MJ's birthday, which was, I think, what, yesterday? It was this week, turning 58 years old. How does that make you feel?
Man, it's crazy to me, man. You know, it's definitely a blessing. It's crazy. To answer the question about what I couldn't do much to celebrate. I had to work. I was on NBA TV on a late night show last night, so I couldn't pop no bottle for my man or nothing like that. But you know what I'm saying?
Bottle of Sincoro going for MJ's birthday. Yeah.
Yeah. I could hit the Sincoro up. I'll probably take a shot of something for him today to represent it. But you know, man, just glad to see my man doing his thing and still inspiring and leading the way.
I love the story about how you guys became Jordan Brand. You mind sharing with our audience?
Yeah, man. So, you know, in the 2000s, that's when N1 was still around. You know, they were trying to be a force in the shoe game. And we had been Nike guys, you know, throughout high school and everything like that. And so it was kind of a foregone conclusion. We were grassroots guys that we would be Nike. But it was kind of taking a little longer than we wanted it to get our deals and stuff done. And me, I wasn't really even going to be offered. I was the 18th pick. I wasn't being offered, you know, big deals or money or stuff like that. It was basically apparel deals for me. And, you know, D. Miles was the number 3 pick, so he had some money coming his way. But so we were headed down to Jordan's campus, camp in Santa Barbara, the Jordan Flight School. And we would go down there and play, pick up, and, you know, play in the council games and everything. So after the games, we had went down there. We had all in one. So they had just hit us with boxes and stuff. And that was the stuff we had. It was new stuff. We going down there and playing the new stuff. So we get through playing. We sitting there icing up, drinking water. And so MJ like, man, why y'all got that stuff on? And we like... We like, man, listen, you know, they supposed to be doing the contracts. It ain't done yet. He like, I thought y'all was Nike dudes. We like, yeah, we thought so too. They ain't got the deal done. So Mike was like, yo, man, don't worry about it. Y'all gonna be with me. And me and D Miles really didn't know what that meant yet, because like literally he had just started the whole Team Jordan like the year before, with the first group of guys being like Ray Allen, Eddie Jones, Van Baker, and Finn, and those guys were like the first group, the inaugural guys. So our year was literally the second year of its existence, but it still wasn't even really a known entity like that. So our agent called us the next day and was like, man, I don't know what Michael did, but, you know, they changed the contract. He was like, you know, they gave me what I was asking for Darius, then they threw in money for you that you weren't even going to get beforehand, Q. So I was like, damn. You know, MJ swooped through, saved the day. And for me, it was like, I couldn't, you know what I'm saying? This is my idol, somebody. I grew up in Chicago watching. Now he handpicking me to wear his clothes and to be part of this little, you know, we used to call it we was a task force. Because, you know, it's different now. But when that thing first started, it was like, it was under 10 people. And it was like an elite task force. And all of us was killers. So we took it with pride to be on that joint.
Hey, Q, I got to stick with that same story. I got a story for you, too, now. So I get drafted in 2005 with the Oakland Raiders at the time. And you know how you're talking about the Jordan brand, the team brand. Well, here I am coming out of college, out of San Diego State. I get to the Raiders. And I walk in the locker room, with three guys who were all part of Team Jordan. We're talking about NFL guys, NFL dudes. So it was Charles Woodson, Warren Sapp, and Randy Moss. Those three guys. So I would tell guys on Monday when we would get to the facility, you would have thought it was a Michael Jordan warehouse, as many boxes of Jordans that we had coming into that locker room. I'm talking about from backpacks, iPod holders, iPod cases. Everything. I mean, everything that you could think
print,
of Jordan.
The elephant print everywhere.
With the elephant print. People, and I look, literally, and until this day, I have a pair of Randy Moss player edition purple and white Minnesota Vikings pair of 13s. They were brand new in the box, but he had just got traded from the Vikings to the Raiders. I said, wow, I ain't never seen those. He literally, I'll be right back. He worked out in them, and then when he walked in, he kicked them off his feet, said, hun, you can have them. I swear to God, I have a pair of player edition number 13, purple and white Randy Moss edition. So I'm just saying that, Q, because that brand now, and I didn't want to go off on this tangent, but that brand now is seen throughout colleges now, universities, and to see that logo on NBA jerseys this year, it goes to show you, like, you guys were pioneers to something that now is sort of the global brand that it's always been.
Nah, it is. I mean, that's why, you know, for me, it's a blessing to still be a part of the brand and for them to still show me love and send shoes to me and my, you know, my kids and my family and stuff like that. Because, I mean, like, I'm to the point where it would be so weird. Like, I ain't went and bought no shoes, dog, like, for real, since I've been in the NBA. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't bought gym shoe. I don't wear it. If it ain't coming from Nike, I don't wear it. If it ain't coming from the brand Jordan or Nike, I don't wear it, unless it's dress shoes or something.
Look at Quentin Richardson, such a fan still, all these years later. I love it. Well, one last thing here before we let you go. What happened to Lance Williams out at DePaul? Lamorne Morris, a fellow Chicago guy, wanted us to check in with you.
Hey, my big fella Lance, he's coaching in Tennessee. He coaches in Memphis. His daughters is big time. He got two twin daughters just playing. I think they went to Memphis. I think they had Memphis. He got twin daughters at Memphis. It's real good. And then he got some of his younger kids are still coming up. He coaches, though.
He's I love it. Q's still plugged in. Thanks for the update and continued success on the Knuckleheads podcast. Download, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Great to have you on, Q.
Yes, sir. Anytime, Ben.
Quentin Richardson joining the show. Coming back right after this, Ben Lyons, Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich Eisen. It's the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's been a big show today. Big show today. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. Mm-hmm. Talked about this Tatis Jr. deal. 14 years, $340 million.
That's a lot, man.
14 years from now, I'm going to be in my mid-50s. Yikes. We had Quentin Richardson on the show. What a life. What a story. Does a great job on the Knuckleheads podcast. Albert Breer, of course, as always, giving us the update on the Carson Wentz trade, which broke just as we were getting on the air. And we had Jared Greenberg on from NBA TV talk about this doubleheader tonight. Kyrie and his Gandalf walking stick making their way to Staples Center versus LeBron and his Pinot Noir. I love it. I'm so excited for tonight. Even though no KD, AD, it's still NBA basketball. So you got me hooked. Something we didn't get to today on the show. We've been talking Oscar categories. I mean, best actress is a lock, Frances McDormand for Nomadland. So we don't need to do too much X's and O's on that category. But you're starting to get back into the zeitgeist, in the mix with your movies. You're catching up a little bit.
I'm catching up a little bit, man. You know, once the NFL season is over, I get caught up, right? And so obviously there's some films. And this is the thing for all the married people out there, right? It's like a pact that you have with your significant other that, look, you can't watch it without me, right? So like Malcolm and Marie, like, don't watch it without me. We're going to watch it together. You know what I mean? And then, you know, obviously Valentine's Day, we watched Judas and the Black Messiah was another good one as well.
Daniel Kaluuya as Fred Hampton. Man. Give this man all the awards. My goodness. Like, performance what can he do for right the ages now, right? Out there.
Like, what can he do now? You know, he's doing this and, you know, he was doing the Get Out and he was doing Black Panther and something like.
Directed by Shaka King, a classmate of Joakim Noah at Poly Prep in Brooklyn.
Oh, nice, nice.
Today's useless information brought to you.
But no, I'm getting to that. There's just little things, man, and I've always heard stuff like, okay, you got to watch this, you got to watch this. And then I don't know what happened maybe about 2 weeks ago, Ben, but I was, you know, gearing up, getting ready for the Super Bowl, and I was just up, and then I was like, all right, I want to watch something. So I'm touring through Netflix, and Lupin. Have you seen Lupin?
No, I hear, but is this a French show?
It is a French show, but it has a, you know, an English voiceover. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Here it's terrific.
Yeah. And I stumbled on it. And you watch like the first 20 minutes and now I'm like hooked. And it's only 5 episodes. It's the first series. And so that is another one that I'm getting on. So I have all of these shows.
I just love the image of former Oakland Raider, 700 plus tackles in his career, just getting lost in French television shows.
I'm serious, man, because, you know, for me, I finally get caught up on what everyone's been talking about, on what everyone has been saying, hey, you got to watch this. But during football season, it is so hard, Ben. It is so hard to find a show and actually stick with it.
I feel like if I hit you up during the season, I'm like, wow, there's this great movie. It's directed by Chloe Zhao. It's called Nomadland. It's with Frances McDormand. You're like, no. You want to see this footage of Derrick Henry hitting the hole against the 3-4 defense?
Yeah, my mind is not programmed like that. I'm doing NFL, you know, in my college football duties during the week. And so any extra time that I get, I'm either watching film or reading articles through the many different websites about the team that I'm covering that week. So it's difficult to get into that because I have to be in like a moment of zen. Like you have to really be sitting down, quiet, where I can. I like to focus on movies because I don't want to watch it again. Right? You don't want to miss something and then you go get on the net and you're starting to look at, like the other day I watched. I don't want to give it away, but I watch The Little Things, right? Because I'm a big Denzel Washington fan, Jared Leto, and I don't want to give it away, but I had to go to the net to figure out, okay, what did I just watch?
That's a movie that if you're on the phone, if you pause it and you go outside, you totally lose what the intention is behind it. There's nothing that drives me crazier than I'm out and about and someone says, oh yeah, I just started watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You didn't finish it? What do you mean? Movie. We're at a party. Go back home. The third act of that movie's insane. What are you doing? It drives me nuts. I'm halfway through Nomadland. What?
I can't do that. I have to watch it from the beginning. So I got that. And then I tried to start Bridgerton, but it was like, okay,
it's not drawing me in. I'm not hooked on it. I know everybody's talking about it, but
I'm trying to watch it. I know I still have the other one, the chest.
The Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit. So
you're going to start to see a lot more stories take place in the world of chess.
Correct,
after the success of that show. I just knocked out 3 hours in Tekashi 6ix9ine on Showtime, and I don't know if the joke's on me or the joke's on him or the joke's on all of us.
That's another pop culture reference for people out there because obviously that and then I didn't know if I was going to get into this. I was going to text you about this, but obviously some controversial lyrics, maybe from Meek Mill about the late Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, you know I saw that, and I was disappointed to see that. And when you turn somebody's legacy into a punchline, it's not a good look at all.
Yeah, because I've always said that this is when you know you've made it as an athlete. This is just another just talking, but we were always saying that. I remember Warren Sapp, right? So I always talk about my former teammates. And so for him, one of his, at the time when he was coming up in Miami at the University of Miami, Trick Daddy was one of his best friends. And so Warren would always say, like, until you got your name in a song, you ain't nothing. So he would repeat lyrics of everybody that put his name in a song. And I was just like, that actually is pretty cool, right?
You got to be honest. The closest we've ever gotten to that in my family, the GZA from Wu-Tang Clan has a song called Fame. Okay. And he shouts out my dad, who's a film critic in New York. He says, Jeffrey's lion got pricked by a thorn from George Bush or something like that. He just makes word plays on celebrity names. So I've always wanted to meet the genius. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to play chess with GZA and ask him, were you guys in the studio just watching Channel 4 and my dad came on with a movie review? And you're like, aha, Jeffrey's lion. So, yeah, Jeffrey Lion, shout out from the Wu-Tang Clan. That's definitely a Lions family Hall of Fame moment.
Yeah, Lil Wayne said, I sacked the quarterback like I'm Warren Sapp. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's just little stuff like that. Or I think Trick Daddy's line was a play on words in terms of Warren Sapp's jersey. He said, I keep 2 9s on my back like I'm Warren Sapp. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, they say New York hip hop is not what it once was. And what are rappers in New York supposed to say? Oh, you a faker? Shout out to Ron Baker. I mean, like, Knicks basketball's in the toilet.
Wow.
Hip hop in New York is going through a tough time.
You can't even do a Kristaps Porzingis, right?
By the way, Kristaps Porzingis, maybe this changes this year, but to this date, he has only played one game in the month of April in his 5-year NBA career. Now, last year, they didn't have games, but in 4 years in New York, this man played one game in the month of April.
Only a Knicks fan knows that. Only a Knicks fan knows that, by the way.
Only a Knicks fan can tell you there have been five guys in the history of the NBA who have had 5 triple-doubles in a row. Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Russell Westbrook, Oscar Robertson, and Elfrid Payton. There's only 5 guys.
Elfrid Payton, wow.
In the history of the league who have done that.
Oh, man.
Although they lost last night in Orlando by 20. And if they had won last night and they win on Friday in Minnesota, it'll be the first time they're over 500 since Ryan Leaf was in prison. That's what he said yesterday. So I'll let you know how long.
Well, I'll be watching some hoops tonight. We got a nice little doubleheader tonight. I'm definitely going to give you my takes tomorrow.
Yes, doubleheader tonight on TNT. Toronto, Milwaukee, and of course the Brooklyn Nets and the LA Lakers. That should be a fun one. Shout out to all the guests who came on and of course our great team here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison in today hanging out. You'll be back tomorrow where, who knows, Deshaun Watson might get traded when the show starts.
Who knows?
We'll see what breaking news we have then. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day. We appreciate you spending part of it with us. And we'll be back tomorrow. Ben Lyons, Kirk Morrison here on The Rich Eisen Show.